All right, folks, praise the Lord. Let's open up our hymnals this morning for our final hymn. Go to 74, one of my favorite all-time hymns, and I'll tell you the story why as we turn there. It was 1985, just before I got saved, and my sister Ellie had invited me to her Bible-believing Baptist church. You know, here I was, Catholic, and I go in there and Miriam was my fiance at the time. We weren't yet married, and we weren't yet saved. And we go in this church, Bible-believing church, you know, King James only. And this old lady, she's about 90, sitting right next to me. Here's this old lady right here, me, my wife Miriam, then Ellie and Mike, right? And the preacher says, turn to such and such a hymn. It was this hymn at Calvary. So let's stand and sing. So we stand up and start singing a hymn. And this old gal, she is belting out this song at the top of her lungs. She's got to be 90. Years of spending vanity and pride. And I'm like, what has gotten into her? This woman is off her rocker. I'm thinking she's crazy, right? And it, yeah. And in the chorus, you know, mercy there was great and grace was free. And she gives me the elbow. During the course, she says, Sonny, are you saved? Because I'm just mumbling the words, you know. And I get, I'm so embarrassed. I go, I'm working on it. You know, yeah, but you know what? I've never forgotten that. She was so full of the Holy Spirit that she was just belting out this song to the Lord. She didn't care who else was listening. And that's how we need to be, folks. Let's stand and sing at Calvary. Glory to God. Oh, that was so funny. And we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth.
Years of spending vanity and pride, care enough what Lord was crucified, and knowing not it was for me he died. Oh Calvary, mercy there was great, grace was free, pardon was found and pride to me. By God's word at last a sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul in pouring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, grace was free, pardon there was mounted by to me. Plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty help that God did spend at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was found in mind to me. Lift my burdens of a liberty.
Be seated, folks. Oh, if it wasn't for Calvary, not a one of us would escape the damnation of hell. Thank you, Jesus. So good to know that we're saved and on our way to glory. Especially with everything going on in the world today, huh? Boy, it's just getting worse and worse out there. So good to know the Lord, be in His hands. We'll sing again after, folks, but let's grab our Bibles at this time. And open up to the Gospel of Matthew this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. This past Friday night, that's my midnight to noon shift on Saturday. And I spent 6 hours concerning what I'm about to bring. And the reason is because of the urgency of the hour in which we're living. Beloved, I need you to hear me this morning, because the message that I'm bringing is somewhat horrifying, but true, because God says it. Amen? Anything we find in the Bible is true because it's God's Word. Now, having read through the Bible some hundreds of times, cover to cover, I believe I have found the most horrifying verse of Scripture. And I'd like to entitle this morning's sermon, "The Most Terrible Words Ever Spoken." Let's stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. The most terrible words ever spoken. Look with me in Matthew chapter 25 this morning. And before I read, let me say this, beloved. On the news yesterday, they said that in Syria, the ISIS terrorists beheaded 4 children. And the reason they beheaded these 4 little children was because they're Christians and they refused to deny the name of Jesus Christ. They said, "We love Jesus." And they told them, "We will kill you if you don't worship Allah." And they said, "We can't do that." 4 little children. They beheaded them. So the words I'm about to read are absolutely horrifying to certain individuals in this world who will hear them one day. Look with me in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And glory to God, those 4 little souls are in heaven with Jesus right now. Amen. In Matthew 25, words in red. Amen? The Lord Jesus is speaking. Look with me at verse 41. We'll read, pray, and preach. In verse 41 we read, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Beloved, I want to speak to you on a message I've entitled, "The Most Terrible Words Ever Spoken." Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the words in red of the Bible, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and what he saith shall come to pass exactly as he says. Lord, I thank you that these wicked terrorists, these rebels, these apostate reprobates will face the King one day. They will hear the most terrible words ever spoken, and they will come from the lips of the one who died for them, who made it possible for them to be saved. Oh God, we ask your richest blessing upon this message this morning. And Father, I pray that multitudes of souls around the world that may hear the words of this sermon would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might escape ever having to hear these most terrible words. And Lord, we just thank you ahead of time for what you will do through this message. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen. 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 Please be seated, beloved. Brethren, this morning, how I need you to hear the words in red, which was spoken by the Son of God so long ago. And they will yet be spoken again one day in the near future. And as I was praying and asking the Lord what he would have me to preach this morning, oh, how my heart was struck with the far-reaching implications of this text. And then the thought came to me that perhaps these solemn words uttered by the King could actually be the first and last words that a lost soul would ever hear his glorious voice. Think of it, church. For one to have lived his or her entire life on earth without ever hearing the merciful voice of the Savior, only to meet him on that fateful day of judgment, and to hear the most terrible words ever spoken, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." All the very thought of it just strikes my soul. My pen began to shake as I was preparing this message. It's so horrific. But it's true, because Jesus said it will come to pass, that many will come to me in that day. And I will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, how horrible it is and tragic to think that all souls can be saved if they only will, beloved. I want to give you 5 things this morning concerning what I believe are the most terrible words ever spoken. I want to give you 5 reasons why I believe it. The first one is this: These are the most terrible words ever spoken because of the one who spoke them. The one who spoke them. Look with me in verse 41 again. And look what he says. Then shall he say. Who is the he, somebody, of verse 41? Well, that would be the king of verse 34. That would be the Son of God of verse 31. That would be the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you this morning that these are the most terrible words ever spoken because of the one who spoke them. Oh, beloved, think of it. Think of it. How dreadful to think. Look at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Listen to me. All the impenitent, all the unregenerate, all of the Christ rejecters will stand before this glorious King and hear the doom passed upon their eternal soul. How horrifying it is. And listen, folks. Look at the words. Notice the words in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. In His glory. He's not coming as a lamb to die upon a cross. He's coming to judge the world for their sin. Oh, beloved, look at some more words in verse 31. Notice the words, sit upon the throne of His glory. That's a great white judgment throne upon which the King will sit and pass sentence upon those who have rejected His love. Oh, I'm telling you, this one who sits upon the throne is the one who will speak these dreadful words. This is He that said, fear not him who is able to kill the body, but fear him who is able to cast both soul and body into hell. This is Him who said that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Listen, this is He that said it shall be more tolerable for than the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they've not seen the works that thou hast seen, Capernaum. This is He that said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to enter the hell fire where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said, if thine foot offend thee, chop it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than to go into hell, the fire that is not quenched. This is He that said to the Pharisees, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? It's a serious message this morning, beloved, because of Him who spoke it. This is He that said, the words that I have spoken in the last day, they shall judge you. The words that Jesus spoke. Go with me to John chapter 5 and hold your place. We're coming back. In John chapter 5, I want you to see the one who spoke these words. In John chapter 5, look with me at verse 21. Jesus says, words in red, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Mark it down. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of who? The Son of God. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. There's that title again from chapter 25, verse 31. He is the Son of Man, and He has authority to execute judgment upon all. This is the one who spake these words. Go with me to Acts chapter 10, quickly. Acts chapter 10, who is it that spoke these words? Oh, how dreadful to think that He is the one who is the supreme judge of eternity. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching up a storm in the house of Cornelius. Look with me in verse 36. And in verse 36 we read, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." I love that parenthesis. By the way, Allah's not God. Buddha's not Lord. He, Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. Amen. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God, the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the what? Judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Oh, beloved, these are the most dreadful words ever spoken because of him who spake it. Because of him who spake it. Chapter 17 of Acts. See it one more time before we move on. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is at Athens. He's preaching against the idolatry of the Grecians. And he says this in Acts chapter 17. Look with me at verse 30. Paul says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth some men, all men everywhere, to repent." Why, Lord? "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." Paul says there's coming a day when all men will stand before that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who dwelleth in the light, have immortality that no man approacheth unto. Oh yes, he's the one who said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." Oh, beloved, how dreadful it will be for one to hear these words. Now, according to what we've just read, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, a great white throne appears, and the one who sits upon that throne is the he of verse 41. In Matthew 26, 25, Judge George Stewart of the Provincial Court in British Columbia, Canada, was giving the man being arraigned before his bar various options that he could choose for his trial after being arrested for bank robbery. The judge explained, "You have the right to be tried by a magistrate without a jury, or by a judge without a jury, or by a judge and a jury. How do you wish to be tried?" The man, who had no counsel representing him, thought for a moment and chose a fourth option. He said, "I'd like a trial without a judge." "I'd like a trial without a judge." Yeah, so would every lost sinner who dies without Jesus Christ. But I've got news this morning, church. He is the judge of all the earth. And he will gather all nations before him and pass sentence upon them. These are the most terrible words ever spoken because of the one who spoke them, the Son of God, who is the judge. But something else this morning concerning, I believe, these are the most terrible words ever spoken. Secondly, because of the multitude that shall hear them one day. Back to chapter 25 of Matthew, look at it. I believe they're the most terrible words ever spoken because of the vast multitude that shall hear them one day. Look at it, verse 41. "And the king," I'm sorry, "then shall he," the king, "say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Drop down to verse 32 for a moment. Speaking of the king sitting upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered a few folks. Oh, all nations. and he shall separate them. Beloved, listen to me. There is a time of separation coming, where for all of eternity, there'll be two groups, those who were saved and those who were not. And he says, I will divide them. Look at that. As a man divideth his sheep from the goats. Oh, brothers and sisters, this morning, how we need to step back for a moment here and consider the vast multitude of lost souls that shall one day hear these frightful words uttered by the King just prior to their eternal doom. I see three categories of people that shall hear these words. First, all those who are impenitent. Go with me to 1 Corinthians quickly. Have your Bibles greased up and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Three categories of people that shall hear these words. First, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, look with me at verse 9. Question, Paul asks, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, beloved, here indeed all those who go on in their sinful course and refuse to repent of that sin shall hear these words one day. That's the first category. That's the impenitent. By the way, verse 10 says, and such were some of you. I'm so glad that we were some of those things, but we're not anymore. We're now saved. But secondly, there's another category of people that shall hear these words. That is all those who are self-righteous moralists. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. All those who are self-righteous moralists shall one day hear these words. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus makes an incredible statement to the people listening on the mount. He says in Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Beloved, listen to me carefully. Jesus said that you don't have enough righteousness to make it in. He said, if your righteousness does not exceed all other righteousness, you can't go to heaven. That's why we need an imputed righteousness. That's why we need the righteousness of God. Jesus is making a point here. He's saying, you can't be righteous enough. The scribes and the Pharisees thought they were so self-righteous, moralists, and they didn't know that they were condemned already, not believing on the name of the Son of God. Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 3, for they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Jesus says, you've got to submit to my righteousness. You need to let me make you righteous. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. Amen? Righteousness, perfect. Let me ask you a question, folks. What is God's requirement for a soul to enter into heaven? You have to be what?
Born again.
You have to be born again, which makes you righteous. Amen? One sin will prevent you from getting into heaven. Therefore, none of us can get to heaven because we've all sinned. But if someone came along and not only took away every sin we've ever committed, but then giving us a perfect, sinless righteousness, we could get into heaven. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here. You need a righteousness outside of your own. A third category I see of them that shall hear these words is all those who are deceived religionists. Deceived religionists. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Oh, this is a very vast group. Deceived religionists will not get into the kingdom. Look with me in Matthew 7 verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wait a minute. Jesus said, some people call me Lord, capital L, but I'm not their Lord. Did you hear that? Not everyone who calls him Lord is his servant. Look at it. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus says, if you want to get to heaven, you have to do the will of my Father. In another place, Jesus says, the will of my Father is that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the will of the Father. It's not works. Amen? It's faith. 22. What's the first word?
Many.
Many. Many multitudes will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? They were religious. They went to church. They carried the Bible. They sang the songs. They put money in the plate. But they weren't saved. Beloved, look at it. Then shall I profess unto them, I never knew you. What's the next word?
Depart
from me. Depart from me. Look at it. Ye that work iniquity. It says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Oh yes, indeed, beloved. How we need to consider the multitudes of people who are religious but not saved. What a horrific thought that is. They think they're going to heaven and they're not. How sad. Within the chapel of St. George in Westminster Abbey, there is a memorial of World War II. It consists of four large bound volumes which contain the names of over 60,000 civilians who were killed in the city of London by enemy action during the war. One volume lies open on the shrine, and a light shines down upon the typescript names that appear on that open page. Each and every day, a page is turned, displaying more names of those who were lost. But church, I'm here to tell you this morning that those 60,000 are only minuscule, a drop in the bucket in comparison of the untold multitudes that shall hear one day these fateful words, the most terrible words ever spoken. I want you to think about something else before I move on. The one who is saying these is the one who gave us life, our maker. And the last words, think of it, that our ears would hear from our creator would be depart from me into everlasting fire. How horrifying is that? To never be able to gaze upon his loving eyes. To never be able to kiss his precious feet and worship the King. Oh, beloved, I believe the worst thing about hell is eternal separation from your Maker. Because you will know at that day that he loved you so much that he died on a cross for you. Something else though this morning. I believe that these are the most terrible words ever spoken because of when they shall hear them. Back to our text in chapter 25. Notice when they shall hear these words. Verse 41, we read, then, what? Then, look at it. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, beloved, notice the first word of verse 41. I got a question for you. When is the then of verse 41? Listen carefully. Then is when it's too late to change course. Then is when you can't go back and start over, Shirley MacLaine. Then is when you've crossed the point of no return. Then is when you will want to listen to the preacher. Then is when you will want to take that gospel track. Then is when you will want to go to church, but it's too late. You can't do it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Oh, beloved, the when of these words being spoken is most horrifying because there's no way out. You're trapped. Look at me in Matthew chapter 12. Don't miss this. Matthew chapter 12. Look with me at verse 31. And think of it. Jesus says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Church, there is a world to come. It is eternal. It'll last forever. And what we do in this world will determine what we do in the next. Verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of what?
Yes.
Judgment. He says there's coming a day of judgment, and you cannot escape it. Oh, beloved, when shall they hear these words but in the very day of final judgment upon the soul? Famed neurosurgeon Dr. Wilbur Penfield, director of the Montreal Neurological Institute, wrote recently in a report to the Smithsonian Institute, and I quote, "Your brain contains a permanent record of your entire life. That is like a single strip of continuous movie film complete with soundtrack. This film library actually records your entire waking life from childhood on. You can live over again those scenes from your past, one by one. When a surgeon applies a gentle electrical current to a certain point on the temporal cortex of your brain," the report goes on to say that as you relive the scene from your past life, you feel the exact same emotions that you did when you originally experienced it. Beloved, listen to me. Imagine the lost soul that will forever remember slamming the door in the soul winner's face, mocking the message of the preacher, laughing at his Christian neighbor for going to church twice on Sunday and then again on Wednesday. Oh, beloved, they will remember when you tried to win them to Jesus and say, "Can I give you a gospel track? It tells you how to get to heaven." They'll remember it forever and ever. How horrifying is it to think? I believe that these are the most terrible words ever spoken. Finally, we saw, because of what will follow these words, listen carefully, almost finally, they are the most terrible words ever spoken because of what will follow these words. Look with me in Matthew chapter 25 again. What will follow these words being uttered? Look at it. Verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, listen very carefully, beloved. Drop down to verse 46, and we'll see what will follow these words being uttered. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." What did the king just say? He said something is going to follow me uttering these words. They are going to depart from my presence into everlasting punishment. I wish it wasn't so. I wish only the devil was going to hell in the lake of fire. But multitudes of people will go there. And when they hear these words, woe unto them, beloved. It is absolutely fearful to consider exactly what will follow just after the king speaks these words to the hell-bound sinner. Notice in verse 46 that the Son of God makes it clear that this punishment for rejecting his offer of pardon is inevitable. Look at the first word, verse 46. "And these what? Shall." They shall. You cannot reverse the word of the king. They shall go into everlasting punishment following his sentence. That means there's no escape, no second chance, no way of reversing your course. I want us to notice three things concerning what will follow the utterance of these words. First, notice the certainty of the punishment. Verse 46 says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." There'll be no plea bargains. No plea bargains at the bar. No deals to be made with the judge. No fancy lawyers to get you off at that day. It's too late. The judgment, the punishment is certain. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and hold your... Oh, thank you, my dear. Thank you so much. Hold your place in Matthew. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at this verse. Horrifying to think of the certainty of this judgment. Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When, there's that word again, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ones. Look at it. Who what?
Shall
be punished. Beloved, listen to me very carefully. This punishment is inevitable. It's certain. It's irreversible. It's irrevocable because of the one who sentences them. Secondly, something else concerning this punishment. Three things concerning what will follow. First, the certainty of the punishment. Second, notice the nature of the punishment. Back to chat. Hold your place in 2 Thessalonians. We're coming back. In Matthew 25, look at verse 41 again. Notice the nature of this punishment. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into what?
Everlasting fire.
Fire? Everlasting? What? People don't believe in there's a hell today. People don't believe there's a lake of fire for those who reject the King. But the Bible says here in words in red, they will depart into everlasting fire. Oh, how horrible this is to think of the nature of this punishment. Look in 2 Thessalonians again. Look at verse 8. In what?
Flaming
fire! Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, they've air-conditioned hell today. They think they're going to be drinking beer with all their buddies in hell on a chaise lounge chair on the beach. And it's not that way, because there is real fire in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 14, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever. Yeah. I wish it wasn't so. But it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Verse 9, who shall be punished? It's no party in hell. Oh, I tell you right now, nobody should go to hell. It wasn't even made for people. It was made for the devil and his angels. But thirdly, concerning this inevitable punishment to follow, we've seen its certainty of it. We've seen the nature of it. But notice thirdly, the duration of this punishment. Back to Matthew 25. Look at verse 41, 46. And these shall go away into...
what's?
Oh, everlasting. You got the right version. It says everlasting. You know what God means when he says everlasting? He means everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've either got everlasting life or everlasting punishment. Look at it. Everlasting punishment. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Oh, me, oh, my beloved. I wish the whole world could hear this message this morning, because they need the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that he offers because of the duration of this punishment. Go to 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 1 again. Look at verse 9. It says, who shall be punished with?
Everlasting.
Wait a minute. Everlasting destruction? Oh, you mean the JWs are wrong about the annihilation of the soul? Yup. Yup. They're wrong. There is no annihilation of the soul. Your soul is an immortal vessel. It will exist forever somewhere. Somewhere. Either in everlasting... but see, this destruction is permanent. It's continuous. And it's unending. Oh me, oh my, the duration of this punishment is unspeakable. Listen to me. If you told a lost soul who has gone to hell already that, you know, we had second thoughts about you, you weren't so bad after all. And I think after a million years, we'll let you out. What do you think? He'd be like, yes, oh yes, I'm getting out in a million years. No, no, no. Let's make that 10 billion years. Well, it'll be a long time, but I'll be getting out. How about 100 million? How about a billion? A trillion? A zillion? Like Obama's deficit on the country. No! It's too high to count because it's everlasting. They'll never get out. They'll never get out. Could you imagine being in a place of torment and having no hope of ever being relieved from it? Beloved, I tell you, this morning's message is serious. In 1944, after the collapse of the Nazi Party in Germany, someone discovered a membership roll containing all of the 8 million names of the Nazis. This was no joyous news for those who had partaken in Hitler's evil design of exterminating the Jewish race. Once, these people were proud to be part of the ruling party. Once, it meant power and prestige. Listen, in many cases, it meant wealth and riches for those whose names were listed, and honor and authority were given to them. But now, it was very different. Now, it meant sharp investigations. Now, it meant prison for many. Now, it meant death by execution for many more. Now, their black crimes against humanity would be exposed for all the world to see. Beloved, listen to me. When lost sinners stand before this great King of Kings and hear these fearful words, all their evil will be exposed to the universe forever. They will know that they were evil, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will suffer eternal torment as a result. How horrifying to think of what will follow these words spoken by the King. All right, we've seen that these are the most terrible words ever spoken because of the one who spoke them. We've seen that's because of the multitude that shall hear them. It's because of when they shall hear them. It's because of what will follow when they hear them. But one last reason I see that these are the most terrible words ever spoken, and that is because of the fact that none need hear them. None need hear them. Oh, beloved, think with me. Go back to our text. Look at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, look carefully at verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. But, the righteous into life eternal. Wait a minute here, Jesus. You're saying that some people are going into everlasting punishment while many others are going into everlasting life in glory in heaven above? That's right. That's what he said. Why? Because no one ever needs to hear these words. All they need to do is get saved. Amen? Listen, the ball is in your court. Jesus doesn't decide where you're going. You do. Oh, if people could only understand, they need to repent and believe the gospel and receive Jesus Christ before it's too late. Listen carefully now. I think that the most heartbreaking truth of all concerning those who shall hear these words in the end is the simple fact that no person ever needs to. Did you hear what Jesus said here? That certain individuals will be punished forever and certain individuals will be blessed forever? What makes the difference? Why is it? You know, listen, Jesus Christ the judge has made it possible for every single human being that ever lived to avoid hearing these words by simply accepting the free pardon that he offers to all people. I'm so glad this morning, church, that Jesus Christ has paid the price of admission to heaven and eternal life with him for all 7 billion occupants of planet Earth today. Listen to me. Let me make a statement. If every single person on planet Earth this morning accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, he'd save them all. He wants them to. They won't. They won't, but he wants them to. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Why did Jesus come in the first place? Next week, we're celebrating the Lord's incarnation. We call it Christmas. Look at it in Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 20. But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel, it's Gabriel, of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, for he shall save his people from their sins. Beloved, do you know what the name Jesus means?
It means Savior.
Christ, anointed, chosen Savior. That's what his name means. And he's good at it. Amen. He's the best there's ever been. Jesus is a Savior who wants to save all people from their sins. Long ago, let me give you this in closing. When Calvin Coolidge was vice president and presiding over the Senate in Washington, an altercation arose one day between two senators, a Democrat and a Republican. Tempers flared, and one senator told the other senator to go straight to hell. The offended senator stormed from his seat, marched down the aisle, and stood before President Coolidge, who was calmly leafing through a big book. "Mr. President," he said, "did you hear what that senator just said to me?" Coolidge looked up from his book and said calmly, "You know, I have been looking through the rule book. You don't have to go. You don't have to go straight to hell." He was right. Coolidge was a believer. And he said, "You don't have to go to hell, and neither does anybody else. Oh, beloved, I say to every lost sinner hearing the sound of my voice today, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to hear the most terrible words ever spoken. You don't have to suffer everlasting destruction. You can be saved and come with us to heaven and enjoy it for all of eternity." Amen? I'm so glad that no human being ever has to hear these dreadful words, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." He's made it possible that none should have to hear them. But what about you? You know, one of my biggest fears in the ministry is that there would be one under the sound of my voice in one of my churches that heard the gospel, that heard the plan of salvation, and went on in their sin and never repented and never got born again, and they end up hearing these words one day. That absolutely terrifies me. It absolutely does. I fear for them. Amen. Beloved Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning that the most terrible words ever spoken do not need to be heard by any human being. Because every human being has a free will, Calvinists. Every human being has the opportunity to be saved because he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm so glad he paid it all. I'm so glad that he'll save any sinner that will come to him in sincerity. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's one hearing my voice today, whether it be in this church or on the website, wherever they might be, they would repent of their sin and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ in the love of redemption and be saved and born again, that they would escape the inevitable words that will be spoken to every lost sinner that dies without the Savior. I pray that many will even write me and email me and tell me they got saved. They came to Jesus. They don't want to hear those words. They want to be with Jesus in heaven. Oh, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would go to work rolling up his sleeves and drawing them to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be born of the Spirit of God and know the joyful sound of salvation and know the peace of forgiveness and know the joy of Jesus in their daily life, that abundant life that you came to give them, Lord, that they would finally receive it and begin to live and really live. We thank you for it today, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals. This morning we'll stand for a closing hymn of invitation. Looking around, I'm so thrilled to see that every person in church this morning has made that step of receiving the Lord Jesus as Savior from sin. Oh, what a blessing to know that you are saved. But let's open up our hymnals to hymn 259. 259, we'll stand and sing all four in closing. Forgive me for going over this morning, but it had to come out. 259. Oh, and how we need to be revived. So glad he's able. Get to the right tune, choir. Yeah. Here we go.
We praise thee, O God.
God, I love the words of that third stanza. It says, all glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and cleansed every stain. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, how we thank you today. Lord, how we thank you for the great salvation that this Lamb of God has provided. I am so glad, Lord, that you died for all mankind, and that all souls from all nations can come to thee and find what life is really all about. Knowing our Maker personally. Being in a relationship with you, Lord, where we speak one with another. And Lord, we're so thankful that you've made it possible, Lord, for all races of all nations and all peoples, tribes, and tongues to know Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help each of us to tell somebody this week. Go to the website, click on that message, the most terrible words ever spoken, and receive the Lord Jesus before it's too late. And we just thank you, Lord, for the multitude, the harvest of souls that you might give us through this. And we're excited, Lord, as you continue to bless and open doors for us and our missionaries around the world that are preaching the gospel this morning to precious souls that need Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. It's to glorify the King and to bring as many souls as we can with us to glory. We thank you for it, the privilege of serving thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can join us tonight at 6, beloved.